Against this backdrop, there appeared in 1954 an article prepared by Alfred Cobbin, one of the greatest historians of France who ever lived. Cobbin's article was entitled British Secret Service in France, 1784 to 1792. From the first pages of his fascinating study, Cobbin took on the core issue. Did the British Secret Service cause the French Revolution? There was a general belief in France in 1789, wrote Cobbin, among both royalists who supported the Bourbon monarchy and revolutionaries who opposed it, that the British government was spending money on a large scale for the purposes of stirring up revolution. Cobbin shows convincingly that many French observers had come to the conclusion that the British were directly responsible for many of the disruptions in France in 1789. Undoubtedly, continued Cobbin, money had been used widely among the soldiers and the people from whatever source it had come. Rumors abounded of British spies pouring all over France, of the dispatch of weapons, muskets, and gunpowder to support the rebellion, and of ample supplies of British funds to foment revolutionary agitation among the people. There were rumors of foreign armies being raised to invade France from abroad. Conspiracy was the atmosphere of the era. The British response at the time was, as Cobbin noted, one of indignant repudiation. By and large, Cobbin supported these denials of British culpability, and for support he drew from British governmental expenditures on the Foreign Secret Service in the years prior to the French Revolution. With a budget of merely £25,000 a year for each of the years 1784 to 1792, asked the incredulous Cobbin, how was Britain to finance a revolution in France? Cobbin turned to budgets for other departments, in particular of the Home Office, to prove beyond any reasonable doubt that there were simply no funds to support the sort of covert operations needed for such an enormous undertaking. Cobbin concluded, the figures for Foreign Secret Service are thus compatible only with activity on a small scale, and it must be remembered that this money covered expenditures for secret services in all countries, so that the amount available for use in France would be still smaller. The smallness of the sums spent on Foreign Secret Service and the fact that in London all such business had to pass through the overburdened hands of the undersecretaries might lead us to suppose that it could not have been on a larger scale. Now, Cobbin spent the last years of his life trying to get to the bottom of the relationship between the French Revolution and the British Secret Service, and he died never knowing the real answer. Why? Because, as it happens, the British curiously kept the key intelligence files of the French Revolutionary era secret for more than 200 years, and only released those files for research after 200 years had safely passed in the 1990s. As meticulous as Cobbin had been, he made the hasty generalization that the absence of specific documents automatically should lead us to conclude that such documents had never existed at all. Perhaps the historian who has explored these files more than any other, seeking an answer to Alfred Cobbin's initial conundrum, is Elizabeth Barrow, whose book, Secret Service, British Agents in France, is an extraordinarily original and compelling investigation of many of the questions that most concern us today. Even after waiting some 200 years for the release of the key files that might shed light on this important theme, Barrow describes the challenges facing researchers today who seek to uncover these secrets of the past. I quote, to unravel the agencies and networks involved, a torturous journey through the trammels of aliases, ciphered correspondence, and concealed travel. France, or rather her Republican and later Napoleonic government, was the enemy. Switzerland, the channel of communication, while the German states were safe havens for multitudes of agents. Russia, whose officials were even then espionage addicts, loomed over Europe.